This week's Siddi is Parshas Pinchas, and we'll focus our shir on the beginning of the Parsha, the first two psukim of the Parsha, the first two verses, which is on chapter 25, verse number 10 and verse number 11. The pasuk says, Vaydabra Hashem el Moshe Leimor, Hashem spoke to Moses saying, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon, the priest, Heshiv es chamosi me'al bnei Israel, he turned back my wrath from the Jewish people, bekanoi es kinosi besoicham, when he avenged my vengeance amongst them, veloi chilisi es bnei Israel, I did not consume the children of Israel, meaning I didn't destroy the children of Israel, bekinosi in my vengeance, meaning that in last week's Parsha we have the story how Zimri ben Salu, the leader of the tribe of Shimon, the Nasi of the tribe of Shimon, brought forth the Midianis Cosbi Basur, which was a daughter of a king of Midian, and he wanted to have relations with her. According to the Talmud, he came in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and he asked, am I allowed to have relations with Cosbi Basur? Cosbi Basur was a princess of Midian. She was not a Jewish woman. Moshe Rabbeinu said no. Then Zimri ben Salu asked, if she is forbidden to me, then who permitted you to have relations with the daughter of Yisro? Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu married Tzipora, which was a daughter of Yisro, who originally was not Jewish and was also from Midian. Who permitted you to have relations with her? Moshe Rabbeinu did not answer. Moshe Rabbeinu and the elders were crying. Pinchas remembered the law that a boy laramis, if somebody is having relations with a non-Jewish woman, kanoim pogimbo, then zealots may kill him. Then Pinchas went and killed Zimri ben Salu and also Cosbi Basur. And when Pinchas killed Zimri ben Salu, the plague that had killed 24,000 people from the tribe of Shimon ceased. Then the verse in our parasha starts that Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that Pinchas did a great thing, and because of what he did, he deserves a reward. And Hashem actually tells him his reward, that he's going to be a bris kahunas oilam, that he's going to be an eternal kohen, and also the brisi shalom, that he's going to have the covenant of peace. Meaning that Hashem clearly tells the Jewish people that they should know that Pinchas did the right thing, and he actually saved the Jewish people from Hashem's vengeance. Because had Pinchas not done what he did, Hashem may have killed more people. Therefore, Pinchas needs to be commended for what he did. The first Rashi on the Parsha asks a question. Why does the Torah have to give me the lineage again of Pinchas? Meaning that in last week's Parsha, it's already mentioned in chapter 25, verse number 7, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, that Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon HaKohen, already saw, Vayakom mitoicho edo, and he got up from amongst the congregation, Vayikach roimach bayadoi, and he took a spear in his hand, and he actually killed Zimri and Cosbi. Then why do you need to say again that Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen? The apostle could have just said Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen, or Pinchas Eishiv es Chamosim al Bnei Yisrael, because I automatically know that Pinchas is the son of Elazar, which is the son of Aharon HaKohen. Meaning, why is the Torah tracing Pinchas' lineage all the way to Aharon, when it would be enough at this point to just say Pinchas ben Elazar? Rashi answers based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Beis 82b and also in Sota Daf Mem Gimel 43a, but the Gemara in Sota expounds it more, and later on we are going to bring this Gemara. Rashi says Lefi shehayu ashvatim mevazin oisoi, that because the tribes were humiliating him, meaning they were humiliating Pinchas by saying Harisem ben Putizeh, Did you see this son of Puti? The word Puti is a shortened word of Putiel, because it's written in Shemos chapter 6, verse number 25, that Ve'elazar ben Aharon, that Elazar the son of Aharon, Lokachloi, took for him Mibnois Poitiel Loi Leisha, from the daughters of Poitiel, for a wife. And Putiel is referring to Yisro, because Shepitam Avi Imoi, that the father of his mother, meaning the father of the mother of Pinchas, which was Yisroi, fattened Agolim Lavoidezore, calves for idolatry, that before Yisro came to convert, he had done all the idolatries, he was a priest for idolatries, as it's written that he was Kohen Midian, the priest of Midian. Then he used to fatten calves for idolatry. Did you see a person like that, the Horak, and he went to kill Nasi Shevet Misrael, a prince of the tribe of Israel? Meaning, how dare such a person kill a prince of the Jewish people? Lefikach, therefore, bo hakos of the pasuk comes, v'yichsoi achar Aharon, and traces the ancestry of Pinchas to Aharon. Meaning that the Torah is saying again that Pinchas, the grandson of Aharon, killed Zimri, that he took the values of Aharon and he didn't take the values of his grandfather on the other side, which was Israel. So the Torah wants to trace Pinchas again to Aharon, so everybody should know that the reason that he killed is not because he had the values of Israel, it was because he had the values of Aharon. Sefer Divrei Naftali explains in a beautiful way that the Shvatim, the tribes, argued that what Pinchas did, he did it because his grandfather was not Jewish. Meaning that since the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph 79a says that the Jewish people have three qualities. The Jewish people are goyim lechasadim, they do acts of kindness. They are rachmanim, they are merciful. And they are baishonim, and they are bashful. Meaning that Jewish people have these three qualities. That means that if you are not Jewish, then one of these qualities may be lacking. Therefore they said that Pinchas killed Zimri because he had the quality of merciful lacking. Meaning that since he is a descendant of Yisro, and Yisro was not Jewish, then he has the quality of mercy lacking. And Pinchas, he is achzari, that he is ruthless. And therefore, because he is a ruthless person, he does not have kindness in him, therefore he killed Zimri. Therefore, Hashem put his lineage towards Aharon. We know that Aharon, a Kohen straight, was Hoyev Shalom and Roidev Shalom, that he loved peace and he pursued peace, to teach you that the reason that Pinchas did it is because he comes from Aharon, a Kohen, that he comes from a person who loves peace and pursues peace, and quite opposite, the reason that he did it is because he has chesed, he has kindness. Meaning, as the verse clearly says, that because of Pinchas taking his revenge, therefore Hashem says, "Veloy chilisi," I did not destroy the Jewish people. Meaning that you are looking at the ruthlessness that Pinchas acted towards Zimri, but you forget to look at the kindness that he did for the Jewish people. Because if Pinchas wouldn't have been ruthless to Zimri, then Hashem would have destroyed the Jewish people. Therefore, by Pinchas killing Zimri, it was actually an act of kindness for the Jewish people. The fact that Zimri died by the hand of Pinchas, that stopped the plague, and automatically, since it stopped the plague, the Jewish people survived, and that is the act of kindness that Pinchas did. You are thinking that Pinchas was an evil person, that he was ruthless, he didn't have the trait of mercy. Specifically, the trait of mercy is what caused Pinchas to do what he did, because only because of the mercy that he had for the rest of the Jewish people, he went ahead and killed Zimri. Therefore, the Torah stresses that he is the grandson of Aharon, that in the same way that Aharon always loves your fellow man and he loves peace, So too, Pinchas did it only because he loved his fellow men. The Tuah Shor asks a question: how does the answer that Hashem puts the lineage towards Aharon answer the reason why they are mocking Pinchas? After all, his grandfather was Yisro, and his grandfather did fatten cows for idolatry. Then how is Hashem putting the lineage of Pinchas to Aharon stopped that mocking? Plus he asks that the Gemara says that Vahorak Nosi Shevet Mishrael, that he killed the leader of a tribe of the Jewish people. And if the person wouldn't be the leader of a tribe, that would be okay. It seems to imply that they only got mad that Pinchas killed the leader of the tribe of the Jewish people. Why is the Gemara stressing that he killed the leader of the tribe? Because just said Vahorag Ish Mishrael, and he killed a person from the Jewish people. Therefore, the Tuah Shor answers based on the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Ebenezer, Siman Beis, where there we are dealing about the laws of whom a person is allowed to marry. The Shulchan Aruch says, Kol HaMishpachos B'cheskas Kashrus, that all families have the assumption of being okay, being righteous, Umuter Lisomem L'Katchila, and you're allowed to marry them outright, meaning you don't have to check on the families to see if they are worthy, if there is some disqualification in the family. You could assume that all families are worthy for you to get married. Vafa Pikeni continues, Im ro'isa beis mishpachos shemizgaros zu bezu tamit, if you see two families are always fighting with each other, and the Ramo adds, oishnei bnei adam shemizgarim ze bo ze, or two people that are constantly fighting each other, oi ro'isa mishpacha shebalas matzo meriva tamit, or if you see a family that's always involved in fights, oi ro'isa ish shomerave meriva makoil ve'as ponim beyoiser, or you see a man that he fights with everybody and is always brazen, in that case, choshoshim lohem, you have to suspect there is something wrong, ve'ra'u le'israchek mehem, and you should distance yourself from them, she'elu simini paslus hem, because this fact that they're always fighting, this fact they are brazen, that is signs that they are unworthy, that they are unfit, therefore you should distance from these people. The source of this law is the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Ayin Aleph, 71a, where there the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Im ro'iso shnei bnei adam shemizgarim ze bo ze, that if you see two people fighting each other, shemetz posul yesh ba'achad mehem, one of them has a disqualifying stain, meaning he has something wrong with him, we don't let him cleave to the other, meaning we don't let one person get close to the other, we don't let them marry each other. Omar Rabshua ben Levi adds, that's not only if you see two people fighting each other, that imroisa shtei mishpachos amizgaros zubezu, that if you see two families that are always fighting each other, then shemetz posul yesh ba'achas mehem, there is a disqualifying stain in one of those families, and we don't let one cleave to the other, meaning we don't let them marry each other. Mefarshim ask, if it's true that this person has a shemetz psul, that this person has a disqualifying taint, for example, that there is a mamzer, a bastard in that family, or that family has a disqualifying stain, then why just this family is fighting with the other family? Why aren't all the kosher families in the world fighting with this family? If the idea is that Hashem places jealousy and strife towards the family that has this disqualifying stain, then why isn't all the families that are kosher angry and having this fight against this family that has this disqualifying stain? The Gemara doesn't say that both families have a disqualifying stain. The Gemara says that one of the families has a disqualifying stain, has something wrong with them. Then if one of the families has something wrong with them, therefore Hashem makes this family be angry at them, why doesn't Hashem make that all righteous families, all kosher families should have this fight with this family that has this stain. Why only these two people or these two families have this fight? Sefer Tevuah Shoer answers that the reason why Hashem makes only these two families get angry at each other or these two people fight each other is because Hashem knows that in fact these two people are really compatible with each other, and given normal circumstances they may make a shidduch with one another, they make betrothal one another. Therefore Hashem specifically puts jealousy and strife between them, because like that they won't get close to each other and like that they won't marry each other. But the other families, since there is no reason to think that they are going to be close to this family, there is no reason for them to be jealous or angry at this family. Hashem only puts this jealousy and this strife in families that are normally going to marry each other, and to prevent that, since one has a stain, Hashem makes that the families fight each other like that, they won't get close and they won't marry. But the rest of the population, it's not important that this be done. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Ayin Amud Beis says though that Omar Rablezer says, Im ro'iso koyen ba'azus metzach, that if you see a koyen that is brazen, al teharer acharav, do not check on him, do not think about him, that maybe he is genealogically flawed. Because it's written the verse in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 4, Ve'amcho kemerivei koyen, your people are like the quarrelsome kohanim, which implies that kohanim are quarrelsome. And the reason that kohanim are quarrelsome is because the kohanim are zealots. They always get angry at people who transgress Torah, because that is their mission. They have to protect the holiness of the Torah. Therefore, they are always angry. So if you see that amongst these two people fighting, or amongst these two families fighting, one of those people, one of those families are kohanim, then we don't assume that the reason that they're fighting is because Hashem wants to keep them separate because one of them has a genealogical flaw. We assume that the reason that they are fighting is because one of them is a kohen, and kohanim normally fight. Therefore, in case of kohanim, we do not have to check to see if the family is a proper family. We could assume that the reason that there is strife is because he is a kohen and the family are kohanim. Another thing is brought in the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Ayin Vav Omed Aleph 76a. There the Mishnah says, "V'kol shehuchzaku avoisav mishoitre rabin," that anybody whose parents are known to have been public officials, v'gabay tzeduka, or charity collectors, masim lekehuna, we could marry them off to a kohen, and v'ein tzorech livdo kachareim, you don't have to investigate them. Meaning that the Mishnah previously says that anybody who wants to marry somebody is required to follow an investigation. But if that somebody is the daughter of somebody who exercised public office, it was a daughter of a public officer, or the daughter of somebody who was a collector of charity, then you don't require to investigate them, because they would only be appointed if they are genealogically pure. If there is a genealogical stain in them, they would never be appointed over the public in a position of power. Therefore, in those cases, the Gemara says that you don't have to investigate, because it's assumed that they are of pure lineage. Then comes out clearly that Zimri ben Salu, since Zimri ben Salu was a Nasi, was a prince of the Jewish people, then we don't have to check his genealogy. We know for sure that his genealogy is a clear genealogy. Therefore, people were mocking Pinchas, meaning Pinchas was fighting with Zimri ben Salu. People thought that the reason why Pinchas is fighting with Zimri ben Salu must be that the reason of the Gemara. Since the Gemara writes down that when two families fight each other, one of them has a genealogical stain, then clearly in this case one of them has a genealogical stain. And clearly, if somebody has a genealogical stain, that stain must be in Pinchas. Because since Zimri ben Salu is Nasi Shevet Meisrael, is a prince of the Jewish people, it's impossible that he should carry that genealogical stain. Therefore, the genealogical stain must be in Pinchas, and the stain is that Pinchas comes from Ben Puti. He comes from Yisro, which Yisro fattened cows to adultery, and that is his genealogical stain. Therefore, Hashem came, and Hashem told them that the reason they have strife has nothing to do with a genealogical stain. It is because Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, because Pinchas is a son of Elazar, is a son of Aharon, who is a Kohen. That means that Pinchas is a Kohen. If Pinchas is a Kohen, then the reason that he is a zealot, the reason that he was angry, is not because there was a stain there. The reason he was angry is because he's a Kohen. And as we mentioned, Kohanim usually are zealots for Hashem, and that is the reason why Pinchas was able to be angry and kill Zimri, and that is the reason why the people, the mockers, became quiet afterwards, because once he proved that he was a Kohen, now there is no reason to say that Pinchas has a stain, because the fact that he got angry is not because he has the genealogical imperfection. The fact that he was angry was because he was a Kohen. The Kliocher explains this saying differently. The Kliocher explains that technically, when Zimri brought this Midianite woman to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he asked Moshe Rabbeinu, can I have relations with this Midianite woman? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. Then Zimri asked, if I can't have relations with this woman, if she's prohibited to me, who allowed you to have relations with Bas Yisroi, the daughter of Yisroi, which was also a Midianite woman? And Moshe Rabbeinu did not answer. And some Mefarshim say that Moshe Rabbeinu knew the law that in this case, Kanoim Pogimbo, you're allowed to kill him. But since Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in the quarrel because he compared having relations with this Midianite woman, with Moshe Rabbeinu having relations with his wife, the daughter of Yisro, who was also a Midianite, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he is not going to act, because people will say that he acted out of bias, out of being insulted. And theoretically, the same reason should apply to Pinchas, because Pinchas's mother was also Bas Yisroi, was the daughter of Yisroi, was also a Midianite woman, which if Moshe Rabbeinu decrees it to be illegal, then theoretically his mother wasn't supposed to have relations with his father. But nonetheless, even though Pinchas knew that people are going to shame him, people are going to say that he did it out of vendetta, out of personal reasons, nonetheless, he decided that he is going to take the honor of Hashem and he is going to kill Zimri. And the Kliocher says that according to his interpretation, it means to say the following, that even though Pinchas is ben Elazar, even though Pinchas is the son of Elazar, and since he's the son of Elazar, he should have abstained from getting involved, because he was clearly involved in this discussion, since his mother was from Yisroi, and he knew that if he's going to do something against Zimri, people are going to say that he did it because he's ben Elazar, because he's the son of Elazar, and Elazar married somebody Midianite, and therefore it was personal. But the Torah testifies that the reason he did it is because he's ben Aharon HaKohen, he's the son of Aharon the Kohen, and Aharon did always things for the sake of Hashem. Therefore Pinchas also did it not for the sake of his father Elazar, but for the sake of Aharon, which means that he did it for the Shem Hashem, for the name of Hashem. The Meshech Chochma says that the reason it's written ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen is because Pinchas acted the same way as Elazar and the same way as Aharon. And he explains that Pinchas actually, by killing Zimri, he had two things in mind. The first, that he decided to kill only because of the honor of Hashem, that he should not become desecrated. And that's the idea, kanoim, that somebody who is a kanoi is not zealot, but is somebody who is jealous for the honor of Hashem, who takes the honor of Hashem into account. and therefore he killed Zimri. And the second thing that Pinchas did when he killed Zimri is that he risked his life and owe his world to come as long as the Jewish people merit to be forgiven. Meaning that it's written in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Beis, Amud Beis, 82b, that it's written in the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 106, verse number 30, Vayamut Pinchas Vayifalal, that Pinchas stood and prayed. The Gemara says, She'osa Pelilois im Koinoi, that Pinchas did the argument with Hashem. He brought Cosby and Zimri, and he asked Al Elo, for these people, Yahargu Chav Dalat Elef Mi'Israel, you are killing 24,000 of the Jewish people, meaning that because of these two people's action, are you sending a plague that kills 24,000? And where did he get the strength to do something like that? He got the strength, one, from Elazar, because Rashi brings down in Devarim, chapter 10, verse number 6, where the verse says, Uvnei Israel nasu mi be'eroiz bnei Yakon Moisera. The Jewish people traveled from Beirut ben Yaakov to Moisera, Shom Meisa Haroin, Dera Haron died. Rashi asks, Bechim Beirut ben Yaakov lost Moisera? Did they travel from Beirut ben Yaakov to Moisera? Baloi Moisera, Baul, Bnei Yaakov, quite opposite. They came from Moisera to Bnei Yaakov, as it's written by Midbar chapter 33, verse number 31. Shenema Vayisu Moisera, and afterwards, after 8 different stops, they stopped in Yaakov. Shom Meis Aharon, and there Aharon died. Valoi Bohor Ahor Meis, but in Hor Ahor he died. So how can you write down that Aharon died in Moisera? Rashi says that Seva Hashoev, count the places that the Jewish people sojourned, and you'll find Shmoyle Masois in Moisera Le Hor Ahor. You'll find that there is 8 places from Moisera to Hor Ahor. So Rashi explains that this is also part of the rebuke of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a rebuke to the Jewish people, and this fact that he just mentioned now is also another hint of a rebuke, meaning that Keshamei Zaharon Behoir Ohar Lesofra Boim Shonov and his Talku Ananea Kovet, when Aharon died in Ohir Ohar after 40 years and the clouds of glory left, you were afraid from the war from the king of Arad, and you decided to go back to Mitzrayim, and you walked back 8 different stops until you reached Bnei Yaakov, and from there you went to Moisera, and there the children of Levi fought with you. V'horgu mikem, the children of Levi killed some of you. V'atem mehem, and you killed some of the Bnei Levi. Ad shachziru eschem, until the children of Bnei Levi were able to take you back, but derech bechazaraschem, in the way that you're coming back. And from there you went to Gadgoda. Meaning, according to Rashi, that the Jewish people moved back because they were scared 8 different stops. Their intention was to go back to Egypt. The Bnei Levi chased after them, and there was a war between Bnei Israel and the Bnei Levi. Some Jews got killed and some Bnei Levi got killed. But nonetheless, the Bnei Levi prevailed and they brought you back. The Meshech Chochma explains that who was the leader of the Bnei Levi? It's written by Midbar, chapter 3, verse number 32, that Venosi Nesiye Olevi, that the leaders of the princes of Levi, is Elazar ben Aharon, Elazar the son of Aharon. That means that Elazar gave the order that Bnei Levi should chase after the Jewish people, even though they risked their life. But they knew they're risking their life for Hashem. So therefore, when Pinchas did his action, he learned it from Elazar, his father. And then the Meshech Chochma says that he also learned it from Aharon. Because by the golden calf, when they ask Aharon to do the golden calf, the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Parsha Yud, Simon Gimel says that Aharon wanted to push him away to the next day. When he saw that this isn't going to happen, then Aharon did the golden calf, and he said that rather put the blame on me than the Jewish people, meaning that I would rather be blamed and I should lose my world to come than have some harm come to the Jewish people. So we see also that Aharon HaKohen risked his life in order for the Jewish people to survive. So too, Pinchas also risked his life to kill Zimri in order to save the Jewish people from the plague. So it comes out that Pinchas did all these things because he learned from Elazar, and he also learned from Aharon HaKohen. So according to Meshech Chachma, it's written here, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, Pinchas the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon the Kohen, because Pinchas learned from both the actions of Elazar and the actions of Aharon. Meaning that the people were shaming Pinchas by saying that he had ulterior motives, that he comes from bad seed, that's why he did this act. Therefore Hashem said, that is not true. He did this act because he learned from his father Elazar, and he learned from his grandfather Aharon. The Chasam Sofer, in his Chidushim on Masechet Znida, Daf Memtes Omed Beis 49b, explains the argument of the Jewish people in a different way, and he explains the argument of the Jewish people is based on the Gemara in Yevames, Daf Kav Beis Omed Aleph 102 way. There the Gemara says, Omar Rava says, Ger, a convert, Dones Chaveroi Dvar Torah, can judge his fellow convert according to biblical law. We have a machloikas here between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds that we are dealing with capital punishments, that a ger is entitled to judge another convert regarding the laws of capital punishments, and for sure regarding monetary laws. And Tosfos holds that a ger could only judge monetary laws, but in order to judge capital punishment, he has to be a full-fledged Jew. The Gemara there continues, that Rava continues, Veim oiso imoy me Israel, but if his mother was Jewish, meaning this person had a Jewish mother but didn't have a Jewish father, in that case, don afilo Israel, he could even judge a Jewish person. According to Rashi, he could judge capital punishment as long as his mother was Jewish. And according to Tosfos, he could judge a Jewish person monetary laws, but capital punishments he may not judge until his father and mother are Jewish. And here we are referring only to monetary punishments. But nonetheless, we see that in order to judge a capital punishment, you require to have, according to Rashi or Tosfos, at least the mother Jewish. And if your mother is not Jewish, then you are not allowed to give capital punishment on a full-fledged Jew. The Chasam Sofer says that this was the argument of the Jewish people. The Jewish people argued how dare Pinchas kill a Nasi Meisrael. Obviously, if he's a Nasi Meisrael, he's in a place of leadership among the Jewish people, it could only be that his father and mother were Jewish. Because the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Ayin Vav Omed Beis 76b, brings the pasuk that's written in Devarim, chapter 17, verse number 15. Where it says, Soim tosim olecho melech, that you should surely place over yourself a king, asher yivchar Hashem ekecha boy, that Hashem will choose him, mikerev achecha, from the midst of your brothers, tosim olecho melech, you should place on yourself a king. There the Gemara says that kol mesimois shatomesim, any position of power that you make, lo yihei elo mikerev achecha, should only be from amongst your brother. And there we see clearly that in order to be a leader amongst the Jewish people, you have to have the proper lineage. That means that Zimri ben Salu, since he was the prince of the tribe of Shimon, clearly had the proper lineage. Then the question is, how is it possible that Pinchas judged them in capital punishment? Because Pinchas, theoretically, judged them and killed them, when Pinchas' mother was the daughter of Yisroi. As we mentioned, Elazar made Mibnois Putiel, which is a daughter of Yisroi. That means that his mother wasn't Jewish, she was a convert to Judaism. Then even if she's a convert to Judaism, a person who is the son of a convert from Judaism is not allowed to judge a Jewish person until his mother is Jewish. Then how can Pinchas judge Zimri when Pinchas' mother was not born Jewish? According to the Chasam Sofer, that was the argument that the people gave against Pinchas. They were arguing that Pinchas is ineligible to judge Zimri. The Chasam Sofer answers that their thinking was flawed because since Elazar HaKohen married the daughter of Israel before Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, Then before Matan Torah, everybody was not Jewish. We only became Jewish theoretically at Matan Torah. Therefore, there was no problem of Pinchas judging Zimri. I wanted to say that this could be the reason why the Torah is tracing Pinchas' lineage again, but patrilinear, because it's telling you that since Elazar married the daughter of Yisroi before Matan Torah, then before Matan Torah, there is no problem because everything was patrilinear. I saw this Chasam Sofer, but unfortunately I did not merit to understand the idea of the Chasam Sofer, meaning that the Gemara in Soita Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph 43a, and this Gemara is also repeated in a different way in Baba Basra Daf Kof Tes Amud Beis 109b, the Gemara in Soita says that Pinchas went to war against Midian, which is going to happen in Parshas Matos. He says, Loi lechinam halach Pinchas amilchama. Pinchas didn't go for naught into the war. Enu lipora din avimoi. But rather he came to exact contribution for the claim of the mother's father. Meaning that Pinchas went to wage war against the Midianim for personal reasons, to take revenge on what they did to Yosef HaTzadik. It's written in Bereishis chapter 37, verse number 36, that Midianim mochru oisel Mitzrayim, that the Midianites sold Yosef to Egypt. Therefore, Pinchas came to take revenge of his mother's father. Yosef was his grandfather. Therefore, Pinchas went to avenge that sale. The Gemara asks a question. Lememre, let's say that Pinchas mi Yosef also, that Pinchas comes from Yosef, meaning that Pinchas' mother is the daughter of Yosef. But you can't be. Voksiv, it's written, Velozar ben Aharon, lokach lo mibdoch potuel leisho, that Elazar, the son of Aharon, took from the daughter of Potiel for a wife. My love isn't the meaning of the word Potiel, the Asim Yisroi, that is coming from Yisroi, Shepitem Agolim Lavodes Kechavim, that Yisroi used to fatten calves for idolatry, meaning that it's written Potiel, and Potiel comes from the word Pitem. The Gemara answers, no, that in truth Pinchas comes from Yosef, and Potiel does not mean from the language Pitem, fatten calves for idolatry. Potiel comes from the language pitpet, that he was able to scorn Beyitzroi in his desire, meaning that when Yosef was enticed by the wife of Potiphar, he was able to stay fast and not give in to the desire. Therefore, Yosef is also called Potiel, because he was able to pitpet, to scorn his desire. And when it's written, Benois Potiel, does not mean Yisroi, it actually means Yosef. The Gemara says, but we can't say this is the interpretation because we know we have this old Gemara that says, Valoishvati mevazinoisoi, that the tribes used to make fun of Yosef and saying, Reisem ben Putizeh, did you see the son of this Puti? Ben Shepitam avi imoy agoyin lavetzichovim, a son whose father of his mother fattened calves for idolatry, Yaharog Nosim Israel, he would kill the leader of the Jewish people, meaning that they also make fun of Pinchas by saying that he's the son of somebody who fattened calves, and we see that Putiel means that he fattened calves and not pitpet, not that he was scorned his desire. Then we see clearly that Putiel is from Yisroi. The Gemara concedes that both of them are true. Elo, Iavu de imay mi Yosef, if his mother's father descended from Yosef, then imay de imay mi Yisroi. Then the mother's mother descended from Yisroi. Vei imay de imay mi Yosef, but if the mother's mother came from Yosef, then Aviu de imay mi Yisroi. Then the mother's father came from Yisroi. Meaning that Pinchas' mother was not a direct daughter of Yisroi, and she was also not a direct daughter of Yosef. She was a descendant of Yisroi, and she was a descendant of Yosef. The Rashbam on Baba Basra Daf Kof Yud, where the Gemara brings the same words, the Rashbam there says, "Vahashta mosinu lameimar." We could say, "Shedor vi oy dor chamishi oy Pinchas lebas Yisroi v'loy korev lo Yisroi." And he wasn't really that connected to Yisroi. He was far away a relative of Yisroi. And the Rashbam says we can't say really she was the grandmother. It must be at least the third generation, the minimum. Then according to this Gemara in Soita and this Gemara in Baba Basra, when it says that Elazar took Bibnois Putiel, does not mean directly the daughter of Putiel, means Mibanois, from the daughters of Putiel, which means descendant of Putiel, Yisroi and Yosef. That means that the wife of Elazar was really a Jewish woman. She was a descendant in many generations previously from Yisroi and a descendant from Yosef, but she was really Jewish. Then comes out that Pinchas' mother is really from Israel. Then according to this Gemara's, how can the Chasam Sofer say that the argument of the Jewish people was that Pinchas' mother was not Jewish, and if she was not Jewish, he cannot judge Zimri, the prince of the Jewish people? Clearly from the Gemara, his mother was Jewish. Just in further generations previously, his mother was not Jewish. Then this wouldn't disqualify him to judge because his mother is Jewish. Rav Ozner gives an answer on this idea, why it's written again, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, based on the Zohar. The Zohar in this week's Parsha, and also the Zohar in Achre Mois, explains that Nadav Avihu, the two sons of Aharon that died, they couldn't come into heaven and they were hovering in this world until Pinchas. And when Pinchas was confronted by the tribe of Shimon, Pinchas got very scared. His soul flew up to heaven, and the neshamas of Nadav Avihu, the souls of Nadav Avihu, came into him. That means that when it's written Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, it means to say that Pinchas is the son of Elazar, and Pinchas also is now the son of Aharon the Kohen, because Pinchas is Nadav Avihu, which actually are the sons of Aharon. According to this, Rav Ozner says that this is exactly what Hashem answered to the people who were shaming Pinchas. People were saying to Pinchas, how can you kill the leader of the Jewish people when your grandfather used to fatten cows for idolatry? And Hashem answers that is not true. That neshama already went into heaven. Now we have a new neshama, which is Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, the neshamas of Nadav Avihu, which actually are the sons of Aharon, and their grandfather did not do any idolatry. Therefore, the new Pinchas, which is Nadav Avihu, had every right to kill Zimri. The Zohar also says that Pinchas is Eliyahu, so does the Targum Yonasim ben Uziel. So Hashem's Baruch should help that while we read Parshas Pinchas, we should merit to have Eliyahu come. Eliyahu is going to herald the Moshiach, then Moshiach is going to come, and then he will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, b'imhera b'yomeinu, Amen.